Good morning, Graham. How are you?
Good, good.
Fantastic. Oh, to
Good.
be a fly on the wall in Keir Starmer's cabinet meetings of late. Now, you
Yeah.
have. We live in interesting times, as I dare say his spouse may be saying to him over the breakfast table. And people are saying, should he stay or should he go? Presumably, it would be after local elections. Do you think there would be a case for saying, look, I've done what I've done, I've made some mistakes, as he himself has said, over the Jolly Robbins Mandelson Global Council Palantir connection, would you believe? What do you make of it all?
Well, I think unless he reinstates Ollie Robbins, Sir Ollie Robbins, I
Indeed,
think
let's not forget that.
he'd have to go, yeah. That they'll deselect him. Lack of confidence, because it's now a question of justice. I mean, it's clearly unjust that he should have sacked Sir Ollie Robbins. And I think he sacked him because he didn't understand, or he didn't understand that he's not above the law.
Which
Because
the former director of public prosecutions is just a tad ironic, isn't it?
exactly. I mean, it's the Constitution that says Ollie Robbins couldn't tell him because it's confidential information. So he wanted to be above the law. If he wants to change the constitution, that's a different matter. But he's got a case that he should have known.
Well, just let's refresh our memories, if we may, Graham. Thank you. In terms of what Robbins wasn't allowed to tell him, is this a reference to Mandelson, the Palantir connection? Because what we also discover is the fact that Mandelson and Starmer had an exclusive private tour of Palantir's HQ around that time or soon after.
Well, when he went to New York, the only other meeting he had besides Trump was to go to Palantir with Mandelson. So, yeah, that's enough to get him.
And it might have, vaguely dawned on that Mandelson and Palantir and by extension Epstein were loosely affiliated or acquainted.
Well, that was known. I
Yep.
think publicly known, yeah.
Mm.
But he would claim that he wasn't doing anything wrong, which he's not. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but it's just extremely
And advised?
unfair that he should only Palantir, and that on the advice of Mandelson. I mean, it's clearly biased.
It's an interesting example, isn't it, Graham, of where the civil services in the Sir Humphrey tradition is sort of quietly all powerful. But and therefore, if you, as it were, I'm going to say shoot the messenger, there isn't quite the phrase, is it? But you will be paying for that down the line. That's kind of what you're implying, isn't it? And I suppose, would you then therefore be saying that Starmer was acting unconstitutionally in
Yeah,
terms of his, not even disingenuously, but unconstitutionally?
absolutely. Yeah. No, he's done what Israel and America are going against the Constitution. I mean, that's what the Constitution is for. And the Constitution, the law is above everyone. No one is above the law. So Selma can't say, "I have a right to know." He doesn't have a right to know, and in the Constitution. He can complain about that. Of course, he can. He can say it's clearly wrong.
But at the heart of it, he had whatever he knew or didn't know, there is a balance of probabilities based on empirical evidence, isn't there, to some extent? I dare say very often legal proceedings will have to go on what would be reasonable doubt of in this case of integrity and what have you with regard to Mandelson.
Yeah,
So
no, I think Starmer is absolutely truthful. I don't think he's telling a lie at all. There's no, there,
in the strict sense of the word,
he didn't understand. He didn't understand. And
That's really profound, isn't it? Where you can be, as it were, in the thick of it for such a long period of time, but literally not see the wood for the trees.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was blind. He was blind. He didn't make the connections, which is that's what's staggering, but that's to goes to his naivety, and his gullibility, and his just lack of experience. I mean, of how bad the conspiracy of Mandelson and Epstein and Trump and Putin and many others, Barak in Israel.
Yes, indeed. Who's actually confessed to one of the key assaults in terms of the sexual element of this? Or
Has he? Ah.
apparently, yes, yeah. His daughter is a journalist, and was just reading early this morning, and is actually defending him in a curious way, in a sort of citizen journalist way,
Yes.
as somebody who's done a mea culpa. It's curious and
Oh,
curiouser.
yeah.
We also discover, amongst other things, that Epstein was involved in selling, let me get this right, Chinese arms to Iran as early as 1983.
Incredible. Yeah.
It's worlds within flipping wheels, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you
No,
begin to
it
wonder if all of this isn't a sort of, as it were, a dystopian network of illusion.
Is the swamp. This is exactly what Trump was talking about. And this is the fascist technique, is always to accuse the enemy of what you're doing yourself.
Yeah.
So he's saying, I'm going to clear out the swamp. He's saying, I know the swamp. I am part of the swamp. I'm going to clear it out. But he's obviously continuing it.
Yeah, it would be nice to think, in a sense, that he said, I'm part of the swamp. But there is an aspect of this, isn't there? People level this at Farage, who seems to be doing rather nicely in Wales on the hustings, which I find it hard to get my head around because, you know, if he's Welsh, well, I'm a Chinaman, sort of thing. That you adopt the pose of the everyday cloth-capped working person, and you hoist your pint, and you are in complete denial, to say the least, of the fact that normally you'd be sipping claret in a private lounge in Coutts or something.
Yeah, he's a complete demagogue. He knows he's misleading everyone, and he's doing it very well. I mean, that's the whole thing, is how effective the politicians, the populists, are misleading the public, and they're all very effective. That has been the problem for the last 20 years, and that's what achieved Brexit and all the far right gains.
Yeah.
It's
Richard Bergen,
impossible.
amongst, sorry, keep going. Yeah.
Well, Jenrick, for example, saying, give up your human rights. Give all your human rights up for one or two people they want to exile or evict. He's saying, give up the whole human rights, all your human rights,
Yeah.
freedom of expression, especially.
Well, let's just hope Chris Grayling hasn't got on the wrong bus and ended up over there, Paul Lamb. But anyway, Richard Bergen on the left of the Labour Party stopped deftly short of calling for Starmer's resignation, unlike some other people who are a bit more to the centre of things. But what was he saying? I've completely lost my train of thought here. Bear with me. I
Well,
think basically it was the, yeah, do pick this up.
I don't think he necessarily has to be sacked or vote of no confidence, because he didn't understand. But he has to be, I think he will be voted for non-confidence if he doesn't reinstate Ollie Robbins. Yeah, that would be a great move towards making it up with the civil service. Because he's got obviously got very bad relations with the civil service, and the membership of the Labour Party is hemorrhaging.
Well, here's the thing, isn't it? I think actually what Bergen was saying, amongst other things, was that the core ethos in plain sight of what the Labour Party now is to be the lapdog of certain bodies corporate, which have quite intimate dovetailings with the workings of international governance, and a sort of an uber capitalistic machine that sees money making opportunities as an extramural thing, whether or not they benefit the public purse as being to the general good. But as you say, if you think about the nature of psi activities, like the Palantirs of this world, they find themselves through government connections with things an awful lot of pies that used to be effectively, I suppose, under the governance of said civil service.
Well, I think this is the international swamp is now in a very self-destructive mode of destroying its main industry, the fossil industry, because they are now in stalemate, just waiting for their members gambling on the stock exchange. They're just pumping out the wealth of the poor by allowing the fuel prices to go up. Then they sell their shares, and then they buy them again when it goes down, when he stops the war. So it's an energy war, pure and simple. And he's just Besant is behind the whole thing.
Scott Bessant, the US Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, who was trained by Soros. He worked with Soros
Really?
Black Wednesday. So he knows all about
That's Soros, if I remember rightly, he's a great sponsor of the liberal in political discourse, but also he bets on financial systems going down, doesn't he? That's how he's done so well.
that's what Trump is doing. He's shorting America. He's getting the rich richer off the poor of America, not off the world, because he's putting up tariffs, but it's off Americans. And as soon as they realize that, they come to realize it, then this is what Besant may be thinking. Well, it's best if we have riots in the street, then we can call out the civil guard and have a civil war, which will make even more money.
It's cynicism beyond cynicism, isn't it? And I suppose if you take the
Absolutely.
long view of all kinds of regimes, one wonders if this wasn't almost in the minds of certain fifth columnists and the Bolsheviks in Russia, that eventually we'd end up with the gangster cronyism that is now the order of the day over there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the constant
That was the dream, perhaps. Certainly the dream of Boris Yeltsin back with the hands, wasn't it?
When your policy is to get rich, you can use ideology to get rich as much as anything else.
Somebody said to take another of the apparent villains in all this international swampery, that Putin's self-described mythology is beginning to fall apart for similar reasons, because you've got price increases due to supply chain issues, and effectively, as you were saying, the creaming off of oil revenues for his oligarch pals.
Oh yeah,
How
no.
did
I think Russians are always known but he kills all the opposition.
the I guess that an underlying point
Well,
here might be, what do these people do for an encore when eventually, as you are implying, and as people like Robert Rice are suggesting, and the No Kings demonstrations and suggesting in America, that people are getting wise to the fact that they're being ripped off right, left, and centre. How can they be sold a better mousetrap version of that a couple of years down the pike?
That's a slightly odd thing that it's already happened in MAGA. MAGA was the alternative elite, is now the alternative elite, which is the ignorant
In the
elite.
sense of alternative facts, as it were.
Yeah, but that's why they follow Trump, whatever he does. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does, because they believe in him.
You could be like a rabbit trapped in the headlights. I personally have switched off rolling news this past week for my own sanity.
Well, no,
I think I'm not alone.
MAGA doesn't mind him calling himself Jesus and whatever, because they'll leave their church and follow him. It's that fanatical. the core, but it's only a core, and it's not enough. When the general population realizes they can do it by, they don't have to. They can vote. They can still vote him out.
So, what's that
But
about? It's sort of the ideation of beneficent greatness, isn't it? The equation of, God and money, and thinking of that AI solecism about what sort of a doctor, healer, and Jesus, and the old robes and everything. I mean, anybody can do that these days at 4 o'clock in the morning, playing with some sort of software. But if you happen to be that particular revered man, then blessed be Father, for I have sinned.
what using AI to cure people?
That's well, not exactly. I think befuddle them possibly, but it is so often this is all about befuddlement, isn't it, really?
Well, of course
And the sort of the
it's
WTF factor.
yeah, no, this is my bad actor theory. It's that new technology will always be used by bad actors because they don't have to follow the law. They don't follow the law. They should follow the law, but they don't.
It's all, is it then? It's that the technology becomes the law in if you are sufficiently fetishizing of it. And here's an example. There's a report in the Leicester Gazette, one of my colleagues in the Independent Media Association edits this, about Palantir having a contract with the Leicester Police. A copy of this was obtained by the Leicester Gazette under the Freedom of Information Act. But a lot of the details of what will actually be done with this software called Foundry, a version of which I understand the NHS also uses, is redacted. You see the standard contract. It's renewable on an annual basis. The general rubric speaks of surveillance for the public good. There's a big drive in the city centre about antisocial behaviour, but on the ground reporting suggests that people who have been labelled as serial offenders are being repeatedly targeted on a grand scale. I can remember something similar happening to some of my clients in North London a few years ago who were irrationally targeted by some of this. I mean, there's great policing that goes on, but this wasn't so great. And, this is a, it was literally the house next door. It was like the Life of Brian, where these 20 coppers had turned up with all the bells and whistles and frightened the hell out of the neighbours in an otherwise fairly quiet neighbourhood. So this stuff can go horribly wrong based on reliance on the algorithm.
Exactly. That's what's happening in Gaza. I mean, that is why everyone's Hamas. The computer says you're Hamas. End of story. And the same in Minnesota. Everyone becomes the enemy. Throughout, the computer says you're the enemy.
Can, to quote Dr. Strangelove, can people learn to love the bomb? Can they learn to love the algorithm the same way? Because it generates nice cat pictures as well.
Well, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gun. It's the person who pulls the trigger. So that all these algorithms are written by humans.
And it is in the end public money that's paying for this. I don't know how many millions Foundry the software costs, but NHS staff are describing it as clunky and not as good as what they had.
Well, it's
And in
not.
fact, although the claims of the contrary, it's actually increasing the delays in AED and what have you. And indeed, I got a routine screening appointment or screening letter without the kit for the test that. Enable me to attend the screening. This wasn't at a local level. This was at some other base across London where this is administrated.
Well, I mean, the key point is that it's all decision making. That's the fascination or the interest, the significance of the Starmer Mandelson problem is that it's his decision making. And he clearly he's admitted he made a mistake.
What's a, what in, in...
He's making it worse now by sacking Ollie Robbins,
Mm.
because all he's got to say is, "Oh, now I understand."
Yeah,
I
but
so Ollie Robbins is now explaining great detail how exactly how the system works and how the Constitution is constituted, and he's not reinstating him. Well, that's a clear injustice, and that's what or lose confidence. That he clearly is putting him either putting himself in front or he can't understand it. And that's the as it played out on the television, you could see the people who it was just going beyond. They could not understand how
That's
confusion was constructed. You got Lee Anderson standing up. Oh, I don't care what all, I mean, all the, what he's firstly saying. I don't care what you're saying. He's a liar. I don't want to listen to all this stuff. He's a liar. So,
Says the man who managed to get people to pretend that they knew him on the doorstep for the last election. But yeah, they.
well, of course he's, yeah, but
That was actually on camera, wasn't it? Graham, can we drill down a little bit into the decision-making process and the not knowing and the aspect of this? I wonder if there is actually a mode of thought that can be induced under pressure that actually is seduced, shall we say, charitably, into relying on the default that is what the software tells you. In other words, equating the information you have in front of you with a sort of algorithmic a stepwise motion that it doesn't necessarily correlate to the on-the-ground reality. The optics, which we know Thatcher, for example, was so concerned with, of how this is going to look in the real world, from which she was knowingly detached in her bunker, so to speak. And on the other hand, as you say, the relative ignorance and inexperience of the way the civil service operates, which, like the army, has its own sort of internal logic, a very honourable internal logic, but it is its own thing to solve its own sorts of problems. So the three elements here, aren't there, perhaps?
Well, this is exactly as Lacan said. This is Freud's great insight. Lacan said, if Freud did anything, this is what he discovered, and it's the the relation between the signifiers and the signified, and there's no way you can determine what the signified is. What you're always trying to do in communication is determine the signified. So, but there's no way.
Well, if you're being rational about it, I mean, so what does this actually mean? Or can you, looking across the breakfast table, how am I driving?
Yeah, but ultimately, this is the power of words is limited. So, this is why you always get the argument, is because you get one side saying, no, it means this, and the other side, no, saying it means still something different. And including all the religious arguments. This is, I remember sitting
It's an interesting word to use in this connection, Graham.
during Hajj, sitting with a Saudi explaining to me why all the Jews had to be killed and pushed into the sea. And he was pointing to a line in the Quran, which
Yeah,
I
which is
believe.
equated with "from the river to the sea," isn't it? In terms of arrestability, it has been recently.
That's not what it means, right? I mean,
No.
it means something totally different. But that and they're taking certainty from vagueness and generalities, and well, it's
Somebody, this Balfour
yeah.
guy, sort of planted the borderline where it was, sort of in the wrong place, like the partition of India, and sundry brouhahas have resulted ever
Well,
since.
horrendous problems. Yeah, I mean, it's
So just sit back and open the
presumably,
popcorn, isn't it, almost, until it's, you know,
presumably they didn't realize the stupidity of what they were doing. Exactly.
So the implication there is a sort of colonialism, a sort of empire building, which is often something that's a term that's used of Netanyahu these days, isn't it? AKA, I suppose you might say, feathering his own nest, keeping out of jail, getting out of jail card.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've just gone beyond the pale, certainly. It's only the law that can stop them. And
And
this is
are
why
you on?
this is why I think it's net that the stalemate is destroying the fossil industry. Of course, everyone now doesn't want to rely on fossil industry. And China is not suffering because it's got plenty of
Here's
stored.
the huge paradox, isn't it? Because I mean, notwithstanding the fringe benefits to Putin, by and large, the very corporate governmental alliance, shall we say, or alliances, are not guaranteeing their own efficiency. And you might say, well, this is an excuse to put the price to inflate the prices. And the cynics would say even that some of the scarcity is being created for geopolitical reasons. But at the same time, as you say, the way it plays is that people say, we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, but that it shows that it's the just to get rich. It's, they don't care about the fossil industry, so they don't mind the fossil industry going bust or going out of use.
Extraordinary thought. Yeah.
Well, no, it's nothing about oil. It's just about being rich.
Yeah.
They're
Well, I
going.
was thinking about what that's going to do to the regulation of the global economy, if you can see it coming. And I could sort of readily see your argument there.
Well, when you rob the bank, I mean, you don't care about the banking system.
We're back to Epstein again, aren't we?
Yeah, it's only about getting rich. It's they're gangsters. They're organized crime. They're shorting their countries to get rich. And people are gradually realizing it.
I dare say, and I don't want to
Powerful.
sound anti-Semitic here, but one of the arguments of Levin is that Hamas, and Mal will take a different view where he here, has got a banking system. So the Iranians, I mean, they're significant players in investment on the quiet, regionally speaking, and their assets are far more than those actually realized, one suspects, which is, allows them to, in the case of Iran, to prosecute places like Yemen and sponsor, to some extent, sponsor terrorism, but also to rebuild themselves.
Yeah, well, we go back to the Delphic prediction. When King Croesus, the richest man on the planet, invaded Persia, a
Yes.
civilization will be destroyed.
Indeed, I mean, this is I suppose this relates, doesn't it, to Nehemiah, who's sort of called a Talmudic stroke a biblical argument about going in when the as it were, the Ides decree.
Well, it's very curious that they're all going using religion, and they're arguing against the Pope. It's
It's
like
almost, I'm
the
paraphrasing a quote, but it's almost, it's like patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel, isn't it? It's almost a variation on that.
Pope. Yeah, but it's clearly misleading. It's clearly demagoguery. I mean, there's nothing to do with patriotism. It's simply to get rich.
Yep, and as quietly points out one Pope Leo of Chicago.
Well,
The J.D. Vance, I mean,
I mean, J.D. Vance apparently said he doesn't understand a just war. I mean,
as delivered on the back of a truck in Albuquerque.
it's just
Before
unbelievable.
Palantir Teal sponsored him, of course,
Well, Teal is the worst. That's why, Starmer has to. I mean, if he's taken in by Teal.
I don't. It does rather seem, doesn't it, as if this man is sponsoring sort of global village idiots.
Yeah, but it's simply to
If you
make
just if
money
you peel
again.
off the backing, there isn't a lot there, is there? intellectually.
There's fascism there, that's all. The rule, I mean, they all want to run the world, and they are running the world. This is with IT. And so they've achieved their goal in a way.
We are. I mean, it's a tale of two stories and then some. But we are told by various economic pundits that the AI bubble has been so badly orchestrated, shall we say, or paced in terms of its development that it's not sufficiently capable of taking over where humans were. Therefore, and this is my very, very rough approximation. You probably have better information than I, Graham. So therefore, it's probably not sustainable as a saleable product. And an example of that might be what the NHS is saying about Foundry software and the inaccuracies which we're seeing, which may benefit somebody, but if you're as it were, in the real economic world, you may realize that you may take the view that you're being sold a pup, and it's only as good as any refinements that might be made. And if there's a certain cynicism abroad, writ large, then those refinements are less likely to be available at a sort of a reasonable price.
And that's the whole point. It's just salesmanship, marketing. It's not manufacturing or design or invention.
No.
They're not. They're the salesman. And as the law says, the word of the sale, the seller is not enough. Of course, the seller is going to say it does everything. It can't. The law allows the seller to say it can do everything, because they call it mere fluff or buff or something.
It's the equivalent might be, and I'm taking a very abstract line here in media terms, where you're allowed to say on, say, LBC something that's a little bit polemical as fair comment, as long as you point out that there are other points of view are available, and you perhaps, by extension, invite the consumer to have a look around and see why we've got the better mousetrap. And in terms of AI, presumably that's what will have to be done. I mean, it's certainly that it, there's it, this possibly it's a race to the bottom, but there's a race to in sort of 70s British Rail terms, an edible sandwich, or indeed one we don't, as Ronnie Barker pointed out, you don't have to use the sandwich to slice the knife, or the basic efficiency of the thing, other than as a plaything.
It's because the evolutionary damage that AI does. This is what machine this machine works by taking away the ability from the human. We're not as strong as we used to be,
That classic
and so.
Braverman sociology about de-skilling in car workers. I mean, that was when the machines were first coming in.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have the intelligence. The London taxi driver is the key,
Oh, that's a really good example.
the
Yeah.
first example.
Yes.
Using AI, they lose their ability to navigate. They just follow the machine. They lose the ability to navigate a London.
This,
So.
without question, Graham, I'm sure you'd agree here. Often I get the London taxi these days, but when you do, you realise you're dealing with an intellectual behind the wheel by dint of the fact that he's got the knowledge. An old friend of my other radio activities calls his spouse the knowledge, in that there's an answer for everything, but when there really needs to be. And that's what these guys have, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they used to have, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
Or at least they are actually defend it, and yeah,
and of
when
course,
they've still got it.
as you just pointed out, it turns out that the AI doesn't know everything and makes mistakes. I mean, the AI is only copying, so it copies mistakes as well as accurate. So.
These Google Maps is a classic example of this for me. I mean, I used to do something called floating support, and I was there were two streets with the same name within 3 miles of each other, an area called Oswestry, and the vacillation between the two on foot, where there was no public transport, was epic. You know, night was falling. I had a deadline. I dare say I'm not alone in this. And then, curiously enough, you could see the sky building in the distance of languishing afar. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, but well, I think it's now come to the crunch, the stalemate is the global crunch where the world divides horizontally, not vertically, into the fossil industries. And which goes into medicine and agriculture and all the other industries because they're a monopoly.
You're
If you
talking, in a sense, then about what we now call the global south, aren't you? Which is in pole position for some of the abuses of the planet that the developed world, as we used to call it, is rapidly unraveling, perhaps, has inflicted.
A monopoly, when you can't supply, then it's the poor that suffer, obviously, because they can't buy. They can't, as the price goes up, they can no longer buy. I mean, this is with that's the whole point about the Thames water thing.
Well,
The price of water is going up, so water poverty is increasing. So they're increasing the poor in London.
yeah, we don't hear much these days about genetic modification, do we? I mean, presumably it's quietly rolling on. I remember it being an enormous furore about 6 or 7 years ago. I think we talked about it here. But the whole idea there, presumably, was to address, albeit via commercial monopoly, so you were locked into buying these seeds, and if they ended up anywhere else, they'd probably do a bit of damage.
One to
But effectively, the premise of this was to be resilient for the climate change that was coming down the pike.
Yeah, that's the argument. But it's the salesman again. It's only the salesman. I mean, and they have that on film. The CEO of Monsanto saying,
That was the company, wasn't it? The pioneers, yeah.
drooling. Over the fact that he was going to make all the Indian peasants dependent on Monsanto because they'd have to buy every year the seeds.
How much has that panned out, though, eh? Because India is now, or aspires to be, a technocratic country. I mean, they are, I mean, at the peasant level, these people are brilliant innovators. But Modi is a, well, he's a bit of an acquired taste, really, isn't he?
Well, he's a religious fanatic.
But yeah, that too, yes. As you say, it's a very good example of what you're saying about the role of religion in all this, and in a dogmatic way.
Well, that's why it's curious in a way, but it's interesting that Trump and his lot of the swamp, of course, is heavily based on religion. I mean, it's not surprising that it's come. It's going to such an extreme, but I think that's the tipping point is now because it's a stalemate. Trump obviously made a mistake. He didn't realize the Strait of Hormuz was a tap on the world, and. He can't admit he was wrong.
It is said, isn't it, of Americans in general, without wishing to stereotype them, that their sense of geography beyond America, which heaven knows is pretty vast, is a bit vague.
Well, it's like what's his name, the Minister of Secretary of State for Transport, going down to Dover during
Ernest Marples, was it?
during Brexit,
Oh, right, yes.
before Brexit. No, it's after Brexit. Going down to Dover and watching all the lorries come and said and saying, "Oh, I didn't realize there's so many lorries."
don't think it's so many miles away of Chris Grenning's constituency, the presumably special advisor on that, with
Well, it was Chris Grayling. It
the
was Chris
mythical
Grayling.
trawlers, inland trawlers.
Exactly, it's Chris Grayling. It's not
Yeah.
that they understand. They don't understand.
My hero.
They're telling the Pope that it's not a just war. There's a brilliant joke on the America. I mean, the American comedians are doing an absolutely amazing job.
Oh, thank heaven for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Trump tried to sack them, but they
Well,
couldn't.
this is the thing, isn't it? Yes, yeah.
And they were reinstated because of the public outcry, a voter outcry. So he said, "Oh well, just cause, yes." Well, no, Trump. It's Trump doesn't exactly understand it. He thinks it's a just cause war. Well, it's brilliant. Just cause.
Oh dear. Was it
It's
Harry Truman
incredible.
that said, please, and excuse the vernacular, please take the piss out of me because it's a bulwark of democracy?
Yeah,
And I don't
yeah.
think, I can't recall any other mainstream politician since being so magnanimous about, well, basic reality, the fact that's going to happen. I wonder if this isn't Starmer's problem, and that at
Lack
some
of
point he
humor.
just needs to relax a little bit. And you can't. You can't if you adopt that particular position in life where you are, as you very wisely observed earlier on, Graham, not particularly skeptical and therefore not particularly perspicacious, as in what's wrong with this picture and possibly what's wrong with me.
Well, he has an ultimate belief in the law, I guess. I mean, the words can actually define.
And his predestined umbilical connection to it. He could do no wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Therefore, he's thinks he's being can be totally objective. So, but in the end, it's all humans against the machine. I mean, language is only words, so it's human created.
It's all in the patterning, isn't it? It's all the sequencing and the memory.
Well, the
And
variation of meaning. This is the trying
yes.
to signify it. You can't determine it. Because everyone was born with a different background, so they have in different interpretation of the same thing.
Yeah. There's something, I mean, this is slightly off topic, but there's something in the deep structure of several sort of walks of life about the law. I'm going to do a day job interview in a couple of hours' time, and one of the things that was drummed into me 37 years ago was whenever you make a note about a client, however apparently trivial or mundane, it is potentially a legal document.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's like copyright. Any mark on the paper is copyright. If you can
Yep.
show it was copied.
Even, and tell that to the software these days, I suppose you might say. But on the other hand, people are doing, people like the Musicians Union and Writers Guild and what have you.
Well, that's the other thing that Starmer is going to give
You're
copyright,
right. You're
waive
right. That's ex
copyright, waive
exactly.
copyright. Well, that's
Yeah.
unfortunately, the major pop stars have got onto that, so I don't think it's going to go ahead, hopefully. But
It's.
it's like saying, well,
I think you're right. I think that's been rolled back now, as they say. Yeah.
it's like staying at the Ritz. Anyone can stay at the Ritz, but you can't if you can't pay, right?
Well,
Well,
that's a lot of washing up.
if you can't afford to buy the copyright or pay for the copyright, then you can't do what you want to do.
And this is the point, isn't it? Because there are, in anything like that, there are publishing costs, there are various incremental fees to be paid for people who do particular things to service the product and optimize it. So you can't just lump all those together. There are, what's the word I'm looking for? Differentials, as the unions used to call them, and the winter of discontent.
Yeah, they say it stifles innovation.
That's a wonderfully blanket phrase, that, isn't it? What the hell does it mean?
No, we can't. If we don't let us steal, we can't.
Yeah.
It's going to stifle innovation. I mean,
Exactly, but that's effectively, if you are innovating on the typical low budget that most people start with, then you are swamped by, as you say, by completely artificial competition. We've reached the point now, as you may have gleaned, where, and this has been happening a lot in jazz, where people who are still alive, having, albeit in the later years, are having completely artificial works attributed to them. And lawsuits are being launched against the companies who are doing this. Finding the people who are doing it is a piece of work. But there, I think the unions will enforce the need for transparency. So there's another small sort of candle of hope, I guess. And
Well, that's
presumably,
good.
in terms of your practice, for example, as an architect, this is the sort of thing where, the technical spec of this, and with Shadows of Grenfell and a totally different path of forest to your to that of you and your bespoke colleagues, the technical integrity of design is going to be absolutely axiomatic, isn't it? I mean, my late father was a draftsman, and some of his calculations to build industrial steelmaking rolling mills have ended up in, I gather, in CAD software, computer-aided design software, which presumably now itself would be superseded, wouldn't it? How is that panning out, for example, in architecture? Or how do you see it panning out?
Which kind of software?
Computer-aided design.
Yeah, no, computer-aided design is steaming ahead. There's a big
Are you, is it working sufficiently well in the context of burgeoning AI, or is AI, would AI be bolted onto it?
no, I've seen several of my inventions done by AI. But I mean, and that's the credit issue. It is one of the fundamental problems for the inventor.
But also presumably the quality assurance, because things get watered down, don't they, on cost grounds.
Well, absolutely. I mean,
And
and
in terms of what people realize is necessary based on the information they're given.
The video system, the cheapest one was developed. So the best one wasn't developed, but it was the best system. I forget the name of it now.
Tell us a bit more about that. What was it
Betamax.
set up to do, Graham? Would you?
It's VHS, Betamax, and
Oh,
what?
yes, right, yes, yeah.
Philips did the best one. I can't remember what it was called now. But it
And
was
that in itself is attractive, isn't it? These things are consigned to history very rapidly. It's, they do occasionally come back, but it's in a sort of niche way.
yeah. Well, I think record players are coming back in a big way.
Oh, vastly.
Yeah.
I think that's been the big surprise, hasn't it? I mean, the fact that people are quite happy to pay 45, £50 for something that's been beautifully mastered and produced, and where they can have some control over how they hear it.
Well, it's almost the aspect of ritual comes in, of putting the needle onto the turntable.
It very much does.
The satisfaction that it's not just the sound in a curious way. It's like drinking out of china cups rather than plastic cups.
I think that's a wonderful analogy. And I think recently, for example, is it the 100th anniversary or 150th anniversary of the Lang Hotel opposite the old BBC building that invented, and it's quite legitimately claimed to have invented the art, as it were, of afternoon tea?
Well, I think it came from China or Japan.
Well, indeed, the tea itself did, yes. But I mean, that the choreography of it, and the fact that people are quite happy to sit down, as I guess the French are as well, and craft these, I suppose, the architecture of confectionery. It's the thing is ritual, Graham, isn't it, really? And has there been, as it were, a degradation of it prior to these things coming back, and why are they coming back now?
Well, that's the people want to have a full life. They want to be happy and realize themselves, have and be free, to
So
choose.
certain things that you do that engineer that, like say people find acts of faith do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the idea between the freedom of to believe what you want to believe. It's not efficient. It's much better if everyone believes the same thing, but they don't, and they don't want to, and they want to experience
And why should they?
a different life. People have you can't live every kind of life, so you can only choose the life you live. And the more you choose it, the better you feel. So you have the freedom. So that's why the Chinese system is under strain, is because I think there is a realization that they're being programmed.
Has that been induced by sort of overexposure to capitalism?
Yeah, well, capitalism is like the gun as well. I mean, it depends how you use it. Capitalism can be good or bad. And it's stealing that makes capitalism bad.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, presumably, if you can't sufficiently regulate the mode of it that comes in, then well, it's often claimed, I think, sometimes with justification that there's been some theft of intellectual property, or at least in some cases, the improvement of product by dint of Chinese manufacturing processes.
Well, this the Chinese have gone way beyond copying now. So they're now producing original stuff. And what this is presumably why they want to. I mean, it's very, very significant. Xi Jinping's statement, was it last week, that they think the people should follow international law. And then.
Yeah, in the light of what we now know about arms sales and things like that, it's ironic, but at the same time, it is a sort of a stilling point, isn't it, in the general mayhem.
Well, Trump is an outlaw, simply an outlaw. He's beyond the law and he's not following the law. And we're getting the chaos resulting. And China is now becoming the superpower. So America will, once you can't trust to have a contract with anyone or a treaty, then you can't deal with anyone. The same as Russia, you can't deal with Russia. It lies, and this is the fundamental
Yeah,
value of the truth.
the Trump position is that he calls the shots. For example, there's that something that the digital services tax that's being proposed, isn't there, towards America, which will then result in a reciprocal tariff. And these things have come and gone and been found to be unlawful, haven't they, in the American courts there.
Well, Trump just says, "How do we make money on it?" And then the lawyers say, "Well, this you can do this and you can't do that according to the law." And then Trump decides whether he's going to break the law or not. And that's why people have laws, so that everyone it's a level playing field, that everyone has the right the same chance for a happy life, which is in the American Constitution.
Yes, so it is. Fancy that, as they would say in private eye.
Yeah,
I wonder if I could throw
but
something in. Yeah. I wonder if
no,
I could. Does you want to
go
carry
on.
on, Graham?
No, go on.
Thank you. I wonder if I could throw something in terms of quality of life. And last week, this is a bit of an addendum to what we were thinking about with regard to the Wimbledon Park case and the incremental points of laws whether it's a public asset or a community asset or what. Brockwell Park, for example, in London, where Lambeth Council is so strapped for cash that for some reason it's cancelling its own community-based county show, which is run, I've been a part of it for various groups I've played in over the years this year. And yet commercial events such as Cross the Tracks, albeit with its community endeavours, are going ahead. And the ground has to have a chance to recover, you might say. But at the same time, the transformation of the public square and green space, and indeed the prioritisation of leisure in a local authority in these difficult times, how would you square that particular circle? Do you have some sympathy for the council position that it simply can't afford to do these things? Or should it be making an active effort to do so in terms of that very quality of life?
Well, without knowing anything about it, I know the park, but it's a choice. It's a decision between profit, but it seems improbable that they can't afford it. I mean, or that they can't devise some way of charging for something that would pay for it.
Yeah. Free at the point of use is like the NHS in that sense, isn't it? I mean, the two are linked in terms of wellness.
Whoever's making the money, money is changing hands, presumably. It's not all free. Or even if it is all free, it's a service to the community, to allow to organize. It's their job. I mean, they're getting paid for
How
it.
important is it in terms of the public square? Because by anecdotally, people like British Conservation Volunteers are doing a lot of what used to be park keeping, as in keep off the grass or keep on it. Is this something that could be best run now as a community endeavour?
Well, exactly. So, yeah, I and that's the conservatives, I think. That's their basic drawback, is that they insist
They have the oak leaf. Yeah.
that everything is run on money. It's simply not true that you need money to run everything. If people volunteer, then you still need money to buy equipment and so on. But there's no fundamental law about everything having to be accounted for in monetary terms. And that's the monopoly of capitalism, is to say everything has to be accounted for in monetary terms. Well, the monetary terms are not interesting in most cases, only to a few people. And so it's why people can never afford to live. It's because
And often how things don't get done. I mean, if you just across the way there in Cressingham Park, there was much brouhaha, which the Greens, I think, have capitalised on, notwithstanding the allegations of anti-Semitism that's removed one of them from the hustings, that have managed to climb, whereby Ted Hollenby's architecture was sort of left to crumble. People grew to love living there, I would say. And of course, there's greenery all around it.
Every decision operates the system. Okay, well, the system is designed by humans. We are in control. The fact that no one can afford to live is through the decisions that have been made. I mean, there's no getting away from it. Say it's just the economy or something.
Stupid, as
We
somebody
can't.
said to Clinton.
We
Yes,
can't help
or
it
Michael Clinton said,
we can't help it that you're poor. It's because they're made poor. I mean, it's a fabricated argument that you get what you deserve. If you're poor, you're not obviously not clever enough to be rich. It's simply untrue.
Speaking to your point about the fact that not everything is measured in monetary terms, but also, I mean, again, going back to the AI argument, notwithstanding the fortunes of these promulgating companies of the technology, areas of industry just disappeared, don't they? IT went a few years ago. My own field is subject to some change and churn with the this current financial year and public expenditure. big government question. So, you are subject to the political weather, are you not, in most fields these days? I think it's perhaps arguably becoming more apparent to people, as you're very skillfully alluding to.
Well, it's because the politicians make all the significant decisions on cost of living. So
What can we afford?
the law tries to work out a system that is equitable, but to the degree it's not followed, it's the degree that people are unequal. And we, the European, have got the most advanced civilization. There's now the American system is being exposed as not as advanced as the European system. So, and I think the only hope for the saving of the world, basically, is if now the current stalemate puts together well, it splits the world into the fossil civilization and the renewable, sustainable civilization, which includes the third world and China. And so, because the fossil system is unsustainable, is making the planet go extinct.
It will, it, as it will, as it were, ossify itself in a sclerotic way.
No, it doesn't. Also, pollution is increasing over 400 parts per million now, and it's just a physical process of heat absorption from the sun. The gas just stores the heat more effectively, so it's nothing to do with, and that's why it's now approaching the point of no return. When it goes beyond the capacity of the living things to survive, the scale is just out of proportion of any action to take to turn it round, which we may have already passed. The permafrost is melting. Well, no one's got any idea about how to reverse that apart from the temperature going down, and it's going to take a certain amount of time to go down, and is that time long enough to not allow the quantity of greenhouse gases to be released back into the atmosphere?
I dare say somebody might, somewhere might say, wouldn't it be a good idea to have another pandemic or the orchestration of one?
Well, that's the good thing about the war in the Middle East. It's destroying the fossil industry.
Yes, this it's an ill wind that does nobody any good, isn't it? I suppose there is that.
Yeah, Trump is shooting himself in the foot in the long. This is why he's shorting America.
Like Willie Whitelaw going grouse shooting.
Well, these are the things that communicate to the general, the whole population, right? So, and that's the tipping point socially into riots in the street, which.
Graham, thank you as ever for issuing the duck call of destiny. Have a marvelous weekend. See you next time.
Okay, bye.
Cheers.
Bye.